Okay. From in the invocation. This quote from Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita 3:21. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures like Manu Samhita and similar others are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees. And that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king or the executive head of state, the father and the school teacher, are all considered to be the natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. So, I'm dealing with this concept of management, or Vedic. The Vedic approach is that you're dealing with the management. We must remember is a tool, is something that we use in Krishna's service. It itself is not specifically the service. Just like when you're cooking, you use pots and pans, you use knives, you use scrubbers, you use all these things, but that's not the cooking. The cooking's something else. So management, administration, all these things are very, very important tools that are used, just like pots and pans. It's very hard to cook without them. But a good cook could cook without them. But in any case, they make it work very nicely. So one has to be able to cross through what is the form of management to actually what is the heart of management, what actually makes management work. And that actually is God consciousness. So we're not just saying that this is, okay, yes, Hari Bol and everything like that. We're not talking sentiment here. We're talking science. And of science, we're talking hard science. That the science of God consciousness can be applied into anything. So that's what today's discussion will be, is to make us aware of how to connect the scriptures to our day-to-day management. Otherwise, the tendency is we have the philosophy, all the nice theory and all that, and all the rah-rah and the things that inspire us. Then there's the practical management. Right? And it's even said with that kind of flavor that this is the practical thing. The other stuff is nice. But this is the real thing that works. It's like saying, the cooking is nice, but the pots and pans and this, new set of, ceramic knives I just got, and this wooden, counter, all that. This is the real thing. Now, someone who is into, all this stuff will naturally be impressed by your, special Oliver, Jamie Oliver pots and all these other things that you may have. But it's the cooking that matters. Right? A good cook, if he has good facility or not good facility, he'll still cook good. But someone who's not a good man, you give him everything, it doesn't make him any better. A guy who can't drive, give him a Ferrari, he still can't drive. Right? So this is the important element. So we see here is that Prabhupada's making the point that leadership is based on the authorized scriptures. Right? That has to be the foundation. So Manu Samhita, these other scriptures, Manu Samhita, Artha Shastra, the Niti Shastra, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, this is what establishes one as a leader. Remember, what are we leading? We're leading a spiritual society. That means the leaders need to be spiritual. They're not spiritual. Great, they can be engaged by someone who is. But someone who's not spiritual can never lead a spiritual society. Don't think for a second that good management's actually going to get you anywhere when it comes to a spiritual society. Right? Very important. Like that. Very, very important. So, now, that means the leader means he's intelligent. The common person takes the easiest path, or he takes a difficult path due to his own emotions and attachments and all that. But for him, that's the easy path. Right? His emotions are going that way, he goes that way with it. Leadership means you have to know what you're doing and take that path with intelligence. So it means one will have to think, one will have to know, one will have to learn. So a leader means someone who teaches, especially in a spiritual society. So that means you are a teacher as long as you are learning. The moment you stop learning is the moment you stop being a leader. Right? It doesn't work. Life comes from life. So leadership comes, leadership in spiritual, in the spiritual side, comes from someone who is progressing spiritually. So that has to be the focus. Right? Just like in a family, the relationship between the members of the family is the important element. Right? And then so washing pots is there, cleaning the house, making money, you know, paying the mortgage, fixing the roof, that's all part of it. But the relationship with the family, that's the actual real thing. The other things are facility. One has to be able to distinguish between what is the working principle and the facility. The modern society, they don't want you to distinguish. Why? Because then you'll think the facility you can't is what you need. You can't sell relationship. You understand? I cannot go out and make billions of dollars off of relationship. Right? And a husband and wife actually are engaging in a nice relationship with each other, parents and child, you know, the one family and another. You can't sell that. You can't make money off of it. I mean, some people will try, of course, but you can't do it. But I can sell things. I can sell you houses and iPods and cars and other things like this that are facilities for a family relationship. You understand? So this is why a leader has to be able to tell the difference. If you can't tell the difference, that's a common person. Right? The common person can't tell the difference because for them, they think, well, without the house, I can't have a relationship. No, the relationship is functioning whether you have one or not. Then you have a house, it makes it easy. It's a nice place. It's safe. It's stable. It's steady. Right. That's what's there. So one has to be able to understand that actually what Krishna consciousness is teaching is relationship. Much of the time, oh, it's philosophy. But it's philosophy of what? Philosophy of relationship. Because bottom line is what? We are servant of God. We render service to God. We develop love for God. So what is that? It's relationship. Not something else. So even in here, this has been mentioned in management, even on the spiritual, we have to be able to distinguish between the facilities and environment, right, and the actual Krishna consciousness. Right? Otherwise, then we'll make the mistake that, oh, yes, we want to preach, so we have to have this big fancy temple, very nice opulent and that. That's going to make everybody inspired. I'm telling you, believe it or not, that during the 80s, I don't think anyone came to the LA temple because it had onyx on the walls. I really don't think the people, you know, in LA or walking down the, you know, Watsika Avenue and something says, we got to go to the LA, you know, the LA temple. They've got onyx on the walls. You understand? But if there's a nice mood there, people are attracted, then that adds to it. You understand? If you have a nice relationship and you have a nice environment, it adds. So it's important. But you have to be able to distinguish. Otherwise, personally, you know, in traveling around, I've seen many temples that have nice facilities. And generally speaking, there are more deities than devotees. Right? Why? Because nothing's happening. Facility is potential for happening, but you have to make it happen. So that's what the leadership does. Right? Leadership means you make it happen, right? Whoever's sitting here, I'm sure I get the idea. It means that unless it was just you had nothing else to do and just, you know, like that. You're here with the idea of understanding something about Vedic concept of management. So then that means then you have the potential, or you are doing, but you have to. It has to be seen as that you have to make it happen. Leadership means they do it. Leadership does something, then the general devotee will respond. You don't do something, they won't respond. Right? If it's wondering, well, how come nothing's happening in the temple? Because there's nothing going, the leader is not doing something to make it happen. I'm sure if you check, his accounts are nice, he's got a nice system in place, his hierarchy is great. Like that, he's got a few committed devotees, he has a nice temple schedule, it's very regular, the Hindus are coming, they're giving their money, it's all going on. But, other than that, nothing happening. Why? Because the leadership's not taking some dynamic step. They're thinking that I create the facility, that's Krishna consciousness. Right? It's not that your beads are your japa. Right, your beads are what you chant your japa with. So the chanting of japa technically doesn't depend upon your beads. You can just chant. Right. So it may inspire you. Okay, I've got Radhakund beads. I have this and that. So many different things. That's nice. That will inspire. But the chanting is what you're trying to do. Right. So I think this point has been made. So then in here. Then, okay. Then this Chaturshloki. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.32. It starts with 33, but we'll read 32. All of me, namely my actual eternal form and my transcendental existence, color, qualities, and activities. Let all be awakened within you by factual realization, out of my causeless mercy. Right? So then we understand from here, as he's speaking to Lord Brahma, is that it's by the Lord's mercy this will be revealed. Right? We always have to remember is that Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he said, he makes the point of that if you're going to make it, for every action, there has to be three factors. There has to be focus, there has to be endeavor, and there has to be dependence upon the Supreme. So in the area, so here, we'll use this terms a lot, sambandha abhideya prayojana. I don't know if you're familiar. Sambandha means relationship, abhideya means process, prayojana means result. So Lord Chaitanya mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that this is philosophy. Everything's covered in these three, right? There's nothing that doesn't fit into these three. Everything's categorized by this. So, forgot the point. Focus is done. So, focus is your sambandha. You know who you are, you know what you're dealing with, you know what is the results of the different elements of the field of activities, how they relate to each other, and what results they can get you. Knowing this, and then wanting to work with this, that's called focus. Right? Then, endeavor naturally means you're endeavoring in the present, not in the future or the past. Future means you're thinking about what could be gotten in the future, but you're not noticing what's going on now. You'll make a mistake. You're thinking about the past, then you will also make a mistake, because that's what worked then, not now. So, making an endeavor with full focus means understanding what's happening now and judging what you're doing now against the field and what it can gain you. Like, I work with this, it should get me that result. Is it moving that direction? If it is, my activity is correct. If it's not, that means there's something wrong with the activity. It needs to be adjusted. Otherwise, we won't get the goal you desire. Right? But that getting that goal, that's up to the Supreme. That's up to the Lord, because He's the Paramatma. He's actually dealing with it. So when He wants it to happen, how He wants it to happen, that we have to be open to. So therefore, in our action, it has to be according to moving also with the Lord's mercy. You understand? But it doesn't mean we sit back and just think it'll happen. No, you have to do it. Leadership means you lead. You do. Okay, so then the first verse. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself. No, nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So, this is the basis of the Chaturshloki. Chaturshloki means the full philosophy of the whole Veda in four verses. Brahma, when he lost the Vedas, oh no, excuse me, before that, when he had heard all the Vedas from Krishna, he had learned everything, he asked, what's the essence? Krishna gave him these four verses. That the whole Veda is supposed to be viewed through the eyes of these four verses. You see that way, then you're seeing in knowledge. You don't see that way, then it will be something less. It won't be complete. It won't be, as the modern will say, holistic. Right? Because you won't be able to make all your connections. So, now in this, you just say, okay, yeah, we've heard that. But the point is this means everything. Whatever is there is Krishna. This is how Yukta Vairagya works. Everything is Krishna. That means it's a matter of how you see it with Krishna. It's not a matter of, oh, I engage it in Krishna's service. It's already Krishna's. It's a matter of, do you see it in connection to Krishna? You see it in connection, then it's connected. You don't see it, then it may be connected ultimately at the end. Nice. But at the same time, as a leader, how are you going to explain this to others? Right? When people ask you a practical question, you should be able to answer it based on this philosophy. Right? There's nothing that we can't discuss. One of the qualities of Narad Muni is there's no subject matter he has any problem discussing. Nothing. Any branch, anything. There's nothing that he'll shy away from. That's a quality of his. Therefore, we see he's able to train and give direction to every leader in the universe. Right? And we see him. Bhagavatam, he's speaking with Yudhishthira Maharaj. He's speaking with Maharaj Prajina Barhishat. These are emperors of the world. Like that. He's talking to so many people. So that's because he sees it all in connection with Krishna. We'll have a tendency as, oh, for brahmacharis, then, you know, brahmachari sannyas, that's reality. Grihastha life, that's illusion. And the grihasthas are, no, this is reality. And the brahmacharis just got to get it together and become a little responsible and a little realistic, and then they'll understand. But all this is illusion, both parties. Why? Because they're not seeing it all as Krishna. It's a matter of, it's all Krishna. Then it's whatever you're doing, that's because your conditioned nature needs to be connected in that way. It's already Krishna. You have to be able to see what it is. Right? He mentions material nature is the cause of the creation. So material nature is what you see. But the point is what you see is Krishna. And we're talking everything. Nothing is not. It's just a matter of nicer manifestations of Krishna or not so nice manifestations of Krishna. Like Prabhupada was in Calcutta when the Japanese were bombing. You can see the bombing is Krishna, but it's not a nice form. You know, it's not like Krishna and Vrindavan and the flute and the gopis, like that. But it's all Krishna. Because why do we emphasize this point? Because there's a good chance, you know, unless you're a Buddhist or a Jain, like that, everybody in this room has had exposure to the concept of God and the devil. Right? Why is the devil there? Why do we need a devil? Right? We're devilish enough as it is. Because the concept of is God is all good, he can't actually have anything to do with this world. Because it's not going nicely. So therefore, God's actually not in control of this. You know, according to the Jews, he lost control. Or according to the Christians, he was overpowered by one of his angels who became the devil. And that's one thing, he was an angel. Did he lose his wings or something? You know, like that. He should still have wings, right? You know, like that. So, you understand? So we have this idea, it's called deification. You deify God where he's so glorious and so up on his pedestal, he has nothing to do with what you see in front of you. And this is a philosophy. Why I mention this is that you'll see this very much in the day-to-day life of the devotees. Karmis, of course, but the devotees. They fall prey to this. Because it's like one goes home. In the back of your mind, this is all Maya. So it's not actually connected to Krishna. So the men don't really put in the energy into the women. The women also don't put in the energy. And then the family life falls apart. And when it falls apart, then what happens? Who gets the blame? God. Right? But he said he's everything. So he is that household of life. But we're not seeing it in relationship to him. So what are we doing? We're seeing it according to illusion. So therefore, if the house of life in this example is illusion, it's not real. What's not real about it? So we'll take it just this existence is not real. That's Mayavad philosophy. Yes.
Could you explain the principle of deification? I couldn't follow.
Deification. Deification means that you separate him from the present. What's going on? Just like some devotees will deify Prabhupada. You know, he's from the spiritual world. What would he know what's going on in this material world? As if it's rocket science, right? You know, it's like the kids out in the backyard, you know, saying the parents don't actually know what's going on out here. You know what I'm saying? You have the person who knows the tree, knows how to use the tree in so many ways, knows the fruits and flowers, and then the people that are don't know the tree and are looking at the reflection in the water, then say, "Oh, Prabhupada can't know the reflection in the water." Even though, of course, he went out there and he was a successful businessman and family man and all that. Possibly more successful than the people making the comments. You know? Like that. But they will have the audacity to say this. Why? And they'll feel strong in it. Why? Because this is the tradition, religious tradition they grew up in. Is God can't actually have connection with the present because things don't go nice, so God can't be involved. If I'm going to keep a good opinion of God. Because if I'm going to say, well, actually, all this is connected with God, then I'm going to have to blame God. But of course, we're going to blame God anyway. You understand? You understand why that we're making this point here? Because otherwise, then we'll say, oh, Krishna, then we'll deify the scriptures. Oh, it's nice, good philosophy, they don't know what they're talking about in this. Oh, Prabhupada is great like this, but he doesn't actually know what's going on here. Oh, Krishna, it's all nice, but, you know, I got to get around to my practical life. Have we heard these things come out of devotees' mouths? This is not our philosophy. It has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. It has nothing to do with reality. And then if we base our life and our management on this, we will fail. Leaders don't do this, not Krishna conscious. So the reason is failing because it's illusion. It's not based on our philosophy. our philosophy, God is everything. Now you have to see how God is involved in everything. Right? That's what we have to see. That's what we have to learn. You see like this, everything becomes clear. Right? Prabhupada mentions, if the sun is up, you can see yourself. You can see everything. Right? But if it's dark, you can't see yourself. You can't see. So if there's no self-realization, how will one lead a society of people who are striving for self-realization? Does that make sense? So this is the first. So the first point is we have to accept, at least in here, because we're just going through the verses one by one, is that God is everything, in everything, is the working principle of everything. We need to see how that is. We need to understand this. Right? So that brings us then to the second verse. O Brahma, what appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. Right. So now he's bringing it more down to us, right? Because we're a person who are working with our people. So now God's everything, so how do I deal with that? You don't have to deal with that. What you have to deal with is what is of value, what appears to be of value in your life and in those life of those who you are leading. Because that's all the discussion is about, right? Does that make sense? You don't worry about something else. When you're hungry, you worry about food. You're not hungry, you don't worry about food. You know, you're tired, you worry about sleep. So the trick is out of the unlimited manifestations in the material world, you focus on what is actually you think is of a value. Then this becomes a powerful tool for your own self-realization and for helping others and for establishing preaching. Right? Just like, let us say we want to do, for example, you know, some New Age preaching. Okay? You know, the so-called soft preaching and all this. So, now, what are we doing? Okay, we're going to the environment, we're not talking so much about Krishna, you know, we're keeping it all, we're kind of skirting around it by doing some yoga or some astrology or this and that. Nice, right? But where does all that knowledge come from? The Shastra. Okay, so Prabhupada says that's leadership supposed to work with Shastra. So that's good. Now, we're thinking that the people just want to hear something nice and pleasant and all that. Right? And so that's the thing. But this goes back to our first point, is we're unable to understand is that the form is not the substance. So here's a group of people that like things said in a gentle, cultured way. But what they're looking for is the truth. So the value is the truth, not it's spoken in a nice way. And if it is, then don't bother with that crowd. Right? Find some other person who's a good orator and let them come and talk. Right? Why we should be running a center for people who just want to hear some pleasant, nice words. Right? We're running it for people who are looking for the truth. That's the value. Right? Why is it that we don't want to speak direct Krishna consciousness? Right? What is our value? Because we're thinking people will think bad of us if we speak so directly. They'll think we're fanatics or something out of, you know, some previous age or something like that. So therefore, what's the value in our preaching like that? It's actually our security. We feel insecure in presenting Krishna consciousness as it is. So we try to create something that makes us feel secure. And we think that will make the others happy. Because we think that's their value. No, they didn't come there because of looking to just pacify their insecurity. They're looking for answers for this insecurity, which we have. You understand? So this makes a big difference in how you approach preaching, how you approach dealing with devotees that come to you for some advice. Right? There's a difference. And what? Based on your philosophical perception. So that value, what you value, that's actually Krishna. So even if you take it, that one, you know, the insecurity, I want to feel secure and all these different things, how to establish that, fine. But that feeling of insecurity, that's Krishna. Right? Why is it coming up? Because you're not seeing your relationship with Krishna. You see a relationship with Krishna, where's the insecurity? God doesn't go away. You know, He's not like our mother or father or husband or boyfriend or children or friends or relatives, business partners. Krishna doesn't go away. They may have gone away. Krishna doesn't go away. Right? We're eternal. So we don't have to worry the body's going to go away or the social position's going to go away. Right? So there, that's the connection. So it doesn't matter. That's the point. You're insecure. Great. That's a great medium for Krishna self-realization. You want to be power. You're attracted. Okay. You like leadership because of the power, the authority, the influence. Fine. But that's your value. But what is power? The power itself is Krishna. The social standing is Krishna. The influence is Krishna. Right? Because he mentioned here is that previously the material nature is the cause of this creation. What you're looking at is dead matter. When has dead matter ever impressed anybody? Right? How does dead matter impress the soul? The soul's alive. Dead matter's dead. There's nothing there. Right? So it's Krishna who has entered everything as the universal form. Right? As a universal form, He's entered everything. And so that's what makes everything seem alive and attractive and desirable. Right? That's why everything works, because Krishna's entered as the universal form. So seeing this does not get in the way of anybody's practicalness. This is real practical. This is real practicalness. Because then you know why it's working. Otherwise, even your biggest, most successful manager in this planet, in the present day, they can tell you, okay, if you do this, this, and this, and that. They have a feeling of something higher. And by karma, they're able to work with it. But they cannot explain it. We can explain it. So simple. Is that what's working? It's God who's working. We simply have that desire. So when we understand this in relationship to Him, then this all flows very nicely. So, yeah. Here, so He says, whatever appears, if it's without relationship to Him, it doesn't actually have any value. So just saying, oh, well, you know, all that philosophy, but I got to do this. But what that got to do this, that's illusion. Because it doesn't actually have any value. Right? It doesn't actually have any value. Because you'll get no benefit from it. And the amazing thing, you're still dealing with Krishna. Okay, well, you know, I can't do all this temple service and sadhana and all that so much. You know, I got to focus on making money for the family. Right? But the point is ekat money. That's a value. But where does taking some piece of paper with faces on it suddenly become a value? Where did this concept come from? Right? The concept of economics has come from God. So the whole world's working for it. Whatever it is, pieces of paper, nicely decorated clay pots, you know, cows, you know, how you say, bling, you know, whatever it may be. That you consider of economic value, that's still Krishna you're dealing with. But you're dealing with Him and not seeing it's Him. So that means in all our practicalness, we're getting no spiritual benefit when we could so easily be. It's only giving us illusion. He says, know it as my illusory energy. which appears to be in darkness. So the reflection appears in darkness. We'll say, Maya is darkness, but that is our vision. But this material energy, as Krishna said, it's all him. It's all Brahman. Right? The actual Brahman realized persons, they see everything as God, so they have no problem with variety and everything like that. Just they don't have any interest to be involved in it, so they stay on the Brahman platform. Right? Those who get involved in it, then they see the Paramatma working. Right? Because Paramatma is who makes it work. In the universal form, you have two aspects, that of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who enters everything, and he is Prajumna. So he's Cupid. He makes everything attractive. And Kirodakshaya Vishnu, that manifestation means he is who works with it. He is what creates the need. Because when you have a need, you work. Right? No need, no work. So, therefore, between the attraction to things of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and the need for something, and therefore the endeavor that is then managed by Kirodakshaya Vishnu, then the manifestation of the universal form becomes complete in our lives. Everything we see is Brahman, is Krishna, in these two features. Right? So that's why everything has to be based on Shastra. This idea is that, oh, it's a modern time, I don't have to worry about the Shastra. That's like saying, well, God's not actually everywhere. He's not entered into all this stuff. Because this is all Satan. You understand? It's not our philosophy, though devotees may say it. It's not our philosophy, and they'll never be able to establish it as a philosophy. Because it's not. It's mundane, religion, that's all. Mundane. Bus. And it's not that it's in dovetail in Krishna's service. Because it means illusion isn't dovetailed. You see it in connection with Krishna, it's not illusion. That's why it's dovetailed. Dovetailing means it's connected to Krishna. Illusion, it's not connected. So the false philosophy, the false vision, is not actually going to get anyone anywhere. Otherwise, what do we establish? You know, going out, making money, being practical. But the point is that kind of leadership will never make Krishna consciousness practical in people's lives. Right? Therefore, leadership cannot answer basic questions you may have on how you engage your life completely in the Lord's service, because they don't know. Right? Why? Simply because they're not looking at it from our philosophical viewpoint. Not that they couldn't. Very easily they could. But they're not. So, that's why Krishna is given these verses, because Brahma, being intelligent, he is the manager of the universe. Having learned all the tools that there is in the creation, then he asked, okay, how do I approach this? What is my viewpoint? So Krishna gave the Chatur Shloki. With that, now he can use everything in connection to Krishna. Then Krishna goes on, that reflection appears to be in darkness, because it's not actually in darkness, yes.
The point is that if it is without relation to the Lord, then it's
illusory, because everything is in relationship to the Lord. Oh. So it's a matter: do we see it in relation to the Lord or not? It's not a matter if it is or not. It is, because it's all Krishna. But if we don't see it that way, then we'll be in illusion. So we're in illusion. Dead material nature is not an illusion. It's just dead matter. So the Maya is not the dead matter. The Maya is not seeing God in the dead matter. The only reason we see dead matter is because God's entered it. Otherwise, we wouldn't even look at it. Right? That's the point. Does that make sense? So in the third verse, then Krishna takes it further. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos, and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time I am outside of everything. All right? Now, this is very important if you want to get beyond the Brahman platform. this verse, is that we accept everything as God, but then the point comes is that God has entered everything, but at the same time he's outside of everything. He's separate. Because he, as Bhagavan, is separate from everything. He is a person. He has his own likes and dislikes and what he likes to do and who he likes to hang out with. So that's all there. He, as a person, doesn't enter it. He as God, enters it. You know, as his position as God, he enters it. But he, as his individual personality, he's separate from it also. So, having seen that God's in everything, everything like that, you still have to be able to see God's beyond that. Otherwise, why will one be inspired to take the activity beyond? Otherwise, we see, okay, dealing with my washing machine, right? It washes my dishes or washes my clothes, whichever one, you know. I guess I could make one to do both. That would be more practical, right? But the washing machine, how does it work? The principle in it, right? We want to get cleanliness. So cleanliness is God. The position is God. Then, according to sixth canto, then God's internal potency takes the form of the washing machine. Right? Because there's unlimited ways to create cleanliness. But, so, therefore, there's unlimited manifestation. So this is one manifestation of it. But why are you using the washing machine? Because it gets things clean. Not because it rattles in the corner and you have to go and hold on to it before it, you know, goes out into the living room. Or it uses up lots of water. Or it uses up soap. It uses up money. That's not why we're using it. We're using it because it makes things clean. So that's the value. Right? So we're seeing the cleanliness is there. That's what has to be obtained. If it's not getting clean, there's no use to the washing machine. Right? And his internal potency is taking the form of the principle of the washing machine. So Krishna's, it is never dealing with the material energy. The expansion of his internal potency is the material energy, which is the material cause, as mentioned in the first verse. So, the washing machine that manifests, that we see, that's the material nature, but it's based on the principle of a machine that can clean things, which is therefore based on Lakshmi, which is based on Krishna, who is cleanliness. You understand? This is the Brahman understanding of how your washing machine is connected to God. And if you don't see it like that, or some aspect like that, in this kind of process, you are an illusion. You just say, oh, I just being practical, I got to wash the dishes. Enough of this philosophy. Nice, so you want to wash your dishes in illusion. Great. You know, but this is how you can do. At the end of the chapter they're on now in the Bhagavatam, right? They just continued where they were? Or they changed chapters? They continued. So in the last chapter, in the last verse in the purport, you'll see Prabhupada mentions that the Grihastha should be able to connect everything to Krishna using this method of the second canto, which is what we're discussing right now. So in other words, it's through Brahman understanding, Paramatma understanding, that the Grihastha can connect everything in their life to Krishna. Right? That's the whole point. So the manager, since he's dealing, he himself may be a family person who is dealing with his family people. Therefore, this is the method. One has to be able to see like this. In other words, how do you help someone become God conscious? Otherwise, you just work out make some material solution to the problem. But that's not going to give you a solution. There are no material solutions to material problems. There's only spiritual solutions. The problem is we don't see it as spiritual. We don't see Krishna. We don't see how he's relating to this. Therefore, we're an illusion. Even though we may be very good in this illusion, but still, there are people who are better than us. You take the top manager on the planet, still, he's an illusion. There are people who are much better managers than him that use the scriptures. Indra manages the universe, and he does it on scripture. Brahma manages the universe, he does it on scripture. Right? Arjuna, Yudhishthir, Yayati, Nahusha, they all use the scripture and manage this planet. Right? Does it make sense? Right. So here's that. That's the level to see. But the point is then, do you want to stop there? Is that all your inspiration? Okay, just I've connected all the things in my life to Krishna. But what about Krishna as a person? Why connect everything to Krishna? Just because it makes life easy, it situates us in goodness, it gets rid of the pain of the material world, we're liberated. Is that much of a motive? For a materialist, yes. But for a devotee, no. It's because they want to please Krishna as a person. They want to be related with Krishna as a person. Therefore, then this cleanliness is because Krishna is the supreme pure. All his pastimes are pure. His environment he's in is pure. Therefore, we remember Krishna in Vrindavan and his pastimes with his devotees. So that means your washing machine can be Uddipan for remembering Krishna in Braja. You understand? So now, who would be the intelligent person to say, oh, we don't worry about all this stuff, it's just philosophy, it's just theory, we're just practical. Practical what? Practical materialist and illusion. You understand? Because this kind of mentality will never get anyone anywhere. Has it gotten anyone anywhere in the last 23 years? Has it gotten anyone anywhere? Is the society flourished, moved on? It's all happening. Is it? No. Why? Because this philosophy doesn't work. The philosophy that works is God conscious, what Krishna is giving here. That's what makes things work. Right? This is what makes things work. So the point is that your inspiration shouldn't stop at simply being self-realized. It has to go on that I as a self-realized person and connected with Krishna as a person. Therefore, he's making this point. Right? It's just like this. Yeah, I'll just give an example. Then ask. He's just like, the man is thinking, I have worked hard. I have gotten, because he works, then he generates money. And that is his potency. It's his energy. It's non-different. Right? And the wife is doing things, you know, taking care of the house, doing all that. It's a manifestation of her energy. So the man thinks, I'm doing my duties. The woman thinks she's doing her duties. But where's the relationship, as we mentioned in the very beginning of the discussion? This is the point being made in the third verse. All that's there, that is the person's potency. It's important. You have to create the environment, but you still have to interact as a person. You understand? So this aspect of God consciousness means the other two, having established us to be able to see God everywhere, brings it to seeing, dealing with God as a person. And the same thing that reflects into our lives, you know, as we're doing all this work, all this energy is there, which is non-different, but at the same time as we deal with the people. Right? You deal with the people. What is the person? What is their value? What is their need? Then you can understand Varnashram, how to engage them, what needs to be done, how to obtain it. Otherwise, without this, you can't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. Right? Otherwise, how do we look at it? Okay, he's got, you know, a blackboard and he's writing things on the blackboard, then he must be a Brahmin. If he's got a machine gun, he must be a Kshatriya. If he's sitting on a pile of grains, he must be a Vaishya. And if he's running a jackhammer, he must be a Shudra. So what did we just discuss? The need of the person? Or the form through which their needs are manifest? You understand? So there, that's why you can't, how it means the broadness of the implication of these verses and not applying them One can see. Why isn't the social system of Varnashram established? Because we're approaching it as a form, as opposed to actual personal need, personal nature. Right? Why can't we apply the philosophy into people's lives other than surrender to Krishna? And what is that surrender to Krishna? Makes the temple president's life a lot easier. You know what I'm saying? That's the point of the surrender. Not that this is necessarily beneficial for you. This is what makes the management of the temple go nice. So we're not dealing with the people. If we're not dealing with the people, we're definitely not dealing with God. He's a person. That's what he's saying in this third verse. It's all him. So dealing with it, you do get better. The person goes out at karmi, goes out into nature and appreciates, this is so nice, this is so beautiful, so pure, so fresh. He's just appreciated all these qualities of God. He actually becomes purified, Prabhupada mentions. Somebody appreciating just nature becomes purified. That's why you see people living this out in the nature generally are simple and nice people. Because they're purified, because they appreciate the nature. Right? So they're appreciating quality, but that's all the farther they get. They don't actually see God as a person. They only see His qualities. Like that. So in the same way, as if we want to be a leader of people, right? So I'm making a differentiation here. It means this is how we'll use it. It means words, of course, are interchangeable. We're making the difference here between a leader and a manager. A leader is someone who is able to inspire and organize people. A manager is someone who can organize situations. They don't worry about people. They may not, but they don't have to. A manager, even if he doesn't worry about the people, he'll still be able to manage and get done what he's supposed to get done. If he takes the people into consideration, he'll be a better manager. But a leader doesn't have to be a good manager. A leader has to know how to inspire people, how to work with people, how to know what it is that makes a person a person. They have values, they have needs. That's what makes them a person. Right? Not that they have a body, or not a mind, intelligent, false ego. No, it's because they're conscious. Right? The soul, Satchitananda, he exists. He has an identity. He has a need for an identity. He has need for happiness. Therefore, he has need for activities that generate that happiness. Leaders deal with that. Right? Managers don't. Leaders can manage, but it's not the management organizing the situation that does. Prabhupada says, like he says, the GBC are managers because they manage the different things. But the main point of the GBC is that they're leaders. Right? They inspire the devotees. They see the temple president, knows what he's doing. Right? The temple president is a leader. He's supposed to inspire the devotees. Right? That's what you need, is leadership. And then where there's a shortage in leadership, I mean in management, let a manager manage it. Like I remember seeing one temple, very nice temple, I think it was Perth. Out in the middle of nowhere, right? Officially the farthest, most remote city in the world, right? And nice temple, nice community, everything very enthusiastic. And the temple president was a good leader. Everybody was like Krishna conscious, enthusiastic, but he was not a good manager. So then with time, then things get into debt because he's not actually so good at it. But everybody liked him. So what's the solution? Not, okay, leadership is going nice. Where's the weakness? It's in his management. Bring in a manager to take care of the accounts and see that everything's going. No, they take out this leader and put in a manager. And then it becomes another ho-hum temple like the other, you know, so many that we have. Why? Because the solution was thought of as the external form. The actual people, the inspiration that was not there. You understand? So it was an improper call on the part of the so-called leaders. Because they couldn't distinguish, like these verses are saying, between the form of something and what actually makes it work, the nature of it. In India, they don't make this problem. They don't have this problem. Why? Because every spiritual institution has the spiritual leaders and then has managers. Right? All the temples, all the mutts, they all have spiritual leaders and managers. The manager just comes in, sees that the accounts are going right, sees that all these things, schedules are in place, everything, proper meetings, you know, things with the government, this, that. Then the leaders see that the spiritual is going on. Right? So we can't distinguish, we will make mistakes like this. Right? Does that make sense? I gave this more direct example because you're here for a leadership thing, so we expect as leaders you'll understand the point and not make politics with this. Right? Otherwise I can give very nice examples like this, but you may not ever connect it because it doesn't hit home. Right? So we're trying to point out is that problems are solutions. Managerial solutions don't solve the problem. Why? Because they don't know what the problem is. You know? And we must remember this they could be you. Your leader, this could be you. Right? So this philosophy is, that's the whole thing. It has to be based on this philosophy. Right? And then, close this, then Krishna says, in the last verse, the person who is searching after the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, both directly and indirectly. So this is your Abhideya verse. Right? The first verse was the field of Sambandha. The second verse was the inspiration to work within the field of Sambandha. Your third verse was your Prayojana verse, what your goal is. It means, in other words, the personality of Godhead. This fourth verse is your Abhideya verse. It means the process. So the process is that someone who's looking for God as a person then must practice all those previous three verses at all times, all places, all circumstances. So this concept that, okay, the Veda is nice philosophy, but what about time, place, and circumstance? Prabhupada just, Krishna just said here, all circumstances, all space, and all time. Right? Time is time, space is place, and circumstance is circumstance. So it has to be understood, the concept even of time, place, and circumstance, that's Vedic, that's given by God. If you're not applying the Vedic literature to time, place, and circumstance, it's not Vedic. So if devotees just say, oh, we tried that before, I say they didn't try it before. They tried it, yes, but they weren't successful. Why? Because they didn't see time, place, and circumstance. So that means the person you're dealing with, what is their mentality right now? What does it need to become? What do you have to do to get it from where it is now to where you want it to be? But what is the point that's going to get it there? Simply adjusting the externals or adjusting the mentality? If the mentality is right, management's easy. People who want to do, know what they're supposed to do, are easy to organize. People who don't want to do, that's big trouble. Right? That's big trouble. So since we're a volunteer organization, better to work on this principle. Because otherwise, if you want to work on mundane management techniques, great. But in mundane management, everyone is paid. No worky, no pay. Right? You know, so that's why they work. You have to remember. So you're trying to change the nature. You're trying to get at it that in all places directly, you know, in the way of our sadhana, remembering Krishna and everything like this, to indirectly, understanding how our toilet scrubby brush is Krishna. You know, and how to work with Krishna as our toilet scrubber brush. You understand? Like that. This then makes one able to be able to lead in all time, places, and circumstance. You see like this? In other words, how you see is what you can do. You want to be able to manage in all time, all place, all circumstance? Then you have to see like this, because this is the only thing that is connected to all time, all place, all circumstance. Krishna is saying that. You must search for up to this. And this is leadership. Right? This is the vision of a leader. Not, okay, he's got his 20-year plan. That's the form of it, how you're going to manifest it. But he has to have this vision to be able to be successful at the 20-year plan. Does this make sense? Yes.
I don't understand what this is, both directly and indirectly.
Directly means that you're seeing the personality of Godhead, which is your third verse, and indirectly is seeing him, how he's entered everything, like the first and second verse. In other words, as the things of the universe and as the values that you're being. So that's directly and indirectly. Okay. You had something, Sadhu?
I just was thinking, if this seminar is ultimately to strengthen relationship and particularly managing.
Relationship managing, yes. It means we'll get into practical things, but the point is unless we see it in that way, we won't get the balance. Because, see, it's like if you're going to get into the management, the Vedic management, the details, you have to be able to see what is the need, the nature. Otherwise, then we'll get caught up in modern social values, our own personal values. We won't actually be able to use the Vedic tools.
The reason I'm asking is because ultimately the relationship also starts from or managing actually or leading oneself, right? And he said that I was thinking of Balarama on how to apply the aspect of being conscious of Krishna,
means how to apply being conscious to the management. Because you can see Krishna in everything, so therefore whatever you're dealing with is also Krishna. So you can see Krishna, so you can see how to get Krishna what he wants in it. So materially it'll go perfectly, because technically there is no material. Right, material is only the form, but it's actually Krishna and his potencies that are interacting. So we're able to see how those interact properly. You know, like we said, the scrubby brush. Okay, so you have this brush. Now, the point is it's supposed to... So cleanliness is its point, right? At the same time as there's the element of maintaining the cleanliness by some distance. Right. In other words, the end of the brush touches the toilet, not your hand directly. So the point is now this. So the brush then is a manifestation, right? In other words, Lakshya is manifestation of the element of cleanliness. So the brush itself is a manifestation that can obtain cleanliness. Through this brush, you can obtain cleanliness. So that means you'd have to use the brush according to its nature in accomplishing cleanliness. So that means you'd have to hold the handle, not the bristles, right? And using the bristles, not the little wooden part on the back or the little nice little string at the bottom or things like that, to scrub in the place that's dirty, right? So if you can see the brush, my hand, the toilet, the cleansing stuff, understand their relationship. And see how they all fit together and be conscious of that while you're applying the process of cleaning, then you'll attain cleanliness. Right? So that means, one, you're God conscious. Two, your toilet became very nice and clean. So the philosophy works on all levels because it's all God. And to say, it can't be here, we want to be practical. That's a deist. That's not a Krishna conscious person. His philosophy is nice, but we got to be practical and get out there and just do it. Enough of this talk. That's a deist. That's not a devotee speaking. You understand? So that's the problem. So we can say, no, but we want to be practical. But I've been watching myself for the last 25 years. I don't see it going anywhere. Why? Because we're not applying the philosophy. But previously, the philosophy was applied. Everything was happening. But their devotion was mixed. So therefore, there's different problems. But instead of removing the problem, they remove everything.
No, this is the tattva. But this is the real approach analysis from the rasa aspect, let's say.
From rasa.
Yes.
But the thing is it's cleanliness, it's Krishna. So therefore, we see is that the you know in Vaikuntha that they're cleaning Vaikuntha, even though there's no dust, just to please Krishna, you know. And in Vrindavan, they're cleaning. It means before they have a rasa dance, they sweep the beach. They don't just go out there and leave it as it is. They clean it. So cleanliness is always going on. So then from there, they can get it. Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Gundicha Marjan. Then the cleanliness. Prabhupada, so many pastimes of Prabhupada with cleanliness. So from there, you can take it from the first and second platform of the verses, you know, from the Brahman and Paramatma aspects of understanding his connection and working with it in connection to bringing it to the point of the person. You know, Krishna's pastimes, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Prabhupada's pastimes. You can bring it to that. That why I give such an example, just because these are things that we would think have nothing to do. These are things where we would leave God out. So if you can put it there, why not in something a little bit more obvious? You know, like on Sankirtan or something like that. The point is people take books. Why do we want them to take books? So they study the books. Then if they've studied the books, they're going to have questions. So we're going to be there to answer them. So therefore, discussing and training people in God consciousness according to the books is part of the preaching process. If we're seeing it from that perspective, but if we're simply seeing book distribution from the angle of economics, so economics is Krishna. Therefore, you deal properly on the street, you'll get your money. But then if people have questions about the books or training the devotees about the books, that doesn't come into it's not part of the equation because economics is how you were seeing Krishna. So it wasn't actually preaching. It was economics. Understand? This is what I mean, hard science. You can't get around it. Like that. These four verses are the science on everything works. You know, all the Puranas, all the, you know, Ayurveda, your astrology, your Niti, your Nyaya. You know, any branch of is working on these four verses. Like that. So that would mean also, you know, your management. We're going to work on these four principles. You see it, you're God-conscious. One, you're God-conscious. Two, you're actually efficient in working with material energy because since material energy is Krishna anyway. Right? And three, you actually develop your relation with Krishna as a person. So all these things, you move yourself from the material to the spiritual, from the spiritual to the devotional, and the operation of material energy was successful. Like that. So it's a very simple thing. It's consciousness. You change the consciousness because that's the easiest thing to change. Right? Managing this place and trying to get it all organized perfectly exterior in the externals is very difficult. Satyuga quite easy. But in Satyuga, this is how they thought, right? So this is the golden age. Golden age is compared to Satyuga. That means people thinking this way will create the golden age, right? Okay. So we'll end here for today. And then tomorrow, and then we'll continue tomorrow with the going into qualities and other aspects.